On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doug Kirby.
Well, I'm real pleased to welcome to On the Bookshelf today for our very first time to talk together, Melissa Hyland, who is the Executive Director of Beautiful Feet International, their website, beautifulfeetinternational.com, that runs more than 50 pregnancy centers in 17 countries. She is also the author of Get Set, A Spiritual Preparation for Short-Term Missions. And my longtime listeners will know that I've had the privilege of going on a number of short-term musical missions. And so I'm very excited to get Melissa's take on this. And to, as a person who's been involved in the pro-life movement for a long time, I'm really thrilled to get a chance to talk to her in regards to her work as the executive director of Beautiful Feet International. So Melissa, thanks so much for joining us today on the Bookshelf.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
So what would you like to talk about first? Should we talk about the book? Should we talk about...
Well, let's talk about the book because you are, this is the right, the, your book corner, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's a book show, right. So
book show.
So is this a brand new book?
It was republished. It has just it's come out again. I actually wrote it a number of years ago, and then it's been re-released with all new pictures and everything. That when I first wrote it, it just had pictures from kind of like some stock photos and everything. But now it contains all pictures from our Beautiful Feet International mission trips, which for me is really exciting. So it has, you know, pictures of all of our places and our people, and very exciting for me.
Well, that's really neat. Now, who is the publisher of this new edition of your book?
It is Hendrickson Publishing, which is an arm of Tyndale.
I have reviewed for them many times before.
Right. And I love them. They are just wonderful to work with. People, you know, obviously who love the Lord, and you see it in every aspect of the process as you go. I've never worked with, you know, non-Christian publishers, so I don't know what it's like, but they are so godly, and it shows up in everything they do, all my experience with them.
That is wonderful. So the short-term missions that you have gone on, have they been primarily to visit pregnancy centers, or what sort of situation? Since my regular listeners will figure this out pretty quick, this is one of those very, very, very rare cases where I didn't get to read the book ahead of time, so I'm going to have to ask really simple questions, and Melissa's going to have to just hold my hand and take me alongside and say, this is what the book is about. So is this a book sort of a general book for short-term missions, or is it more specifically these are the types that we have done, or a little bit of both?
Okay, so this is a book for anyone who is preparing to go on a short-term mission trip. My husband and I, with our children, served as full-time missionaries in Costa Rica for a short time back in 1997 to 1998, and we thought we were going to be there forever, but then the Lord called us back pretty quickly to the United States. We did not know why, but once we got back, we quickly found out a couple of things. One is that our family wasn't complete. We ended up adopting 3 more kids once we got back to the U.S. But the other is we started taking people on short-term mission trips very quickly after we got back. And I thought, why would the Lord, you know, we have this strong call and passion for missions. Why would he bring us back to the United States? And I know that that was one of the reasons why, is to share that passion. So we have been leading international mission teams around the world for more than 20 years, and we have done all kinds of trips. We have done teaching English as a second language, sports camps, youth conference, women's conference, eye clinics, medical clinics, vacation Bible school, just basically whatever it is that the people on the ground have said that they need. In recent years, meaning in the past about 10 years, maybe a little less, we have focused on going where our pregnancy centers are, but we have 58 pregnancy centers in 19 nations, so that gets us to a whole lot of places. And we don't occasionally we do really specialized trips where you know, we might do a women's conference for our volunteers and our clients. But a lot of times we will just do something like a vacation Bible school in the town where we have the pregnancy ministry. And so we are sharing the gospel and then also bringing awareness to the community of the ministry there.
That is really remarkable. I have gone on about 30 trips with an outfit called Global Missions Project, which is strictly for musicians. And we've gone as little church orchestras. We've gone as a big band, you know, a full like a Glenn Miller size big band, all around the world. And at the request of missionaries who brought us in to be sort of an event, so to give them an opportunity to invite people to come to the concert who would never come to a church event, say. As kind of a door opener, right?
Yes.
But I have lots of friends that do all kinds of short-term mission trips, and that is really wonderful. What's the name of the organization? Do you do that through Beautiful Feet International?
Or? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do it through Beautiful Feet International, yes.
Okay,
we
so,
do.
So that organization maintains and runs these 58 different pregnancy centers in 17 countries, but also if people want to know, if they want to do a non-musical short-term mission trip and they haven't known where to go to get help, this would be a place that they could go, right, to beautifulfeetinternational.com.
Absolutely. And we actually are in 19 countries now. I know that paperwork you got said 17, but we added two more countries. So,
awesome.
Yeah. since that was written.
Well, no, this was not written that long ago, just to reassure everybody. So you have 58 different pregnancy centers in 19 countries. So, okay, what are the 19 countries?
Okay, they are Zambia, Togo, Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, Liberia, Costa Rica, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Chile, Ecuador, India, Mexico, Guatemala, Haiti, Malawi, South Africa, Ethiopia, and Colombia.
Wow, that is a great spread. So you have them all across the central and southern parts of Africa. You have them all across South America, Central America, including the Caribbean. That is as well as India, a subcontinent. So you guys are really doing wonderful work in a whole bunch of places that desperately need that help.
Yes, thank God.
India alone, that's a massive project. I'm amazed that you were able to get into Cuba. That's not easy. I've been to Cuba 9 times, and you're always having to play games with the government.
Yeah, and you know, all of it's to me, it's all amazing, and all of it has been the hand of the Lord, and you know that. You've done mission work, you know, and it's not anything like, you know, being smart and figuring stuff out. It's just God's grace and Him opening the doors.
Yeah. So you and your husband trained to be missionaries.
We did.
IMB or?
Yes, IMB.
Okay.
Yes.
Because we do a lot of ours with IMB also. So you guys were trained to be full-time missionaries. You went to Costa Rica for a year and then felt tugged in a different direction. And so what you bring to the table is that you've actually been trained to be a stationary missionary and been one, and now when you take groups and when you organize these groups, you know what it's like from both sides of it.
Yeah.
I think that's really great because the places that I've gone, most of the time the missionaries had sort of a notion in mind when they invite us to come there, but sometimes missionaries get contacted by organizations and they say, hey, we'd like to come and do something. What do you like? And the missionary's like, well, what can I do with you guys? And, oh, I've got to make sure you get fed and housed while you're here. And I know that it's a great thing from the missionaries, but it's also a huge time thing. It makes their workload considerably more complicated for the 10 days or however long that you're in the country with them, even though you're helping them.
Yes.
It's still a lot. It puts a lot on you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, hopefully we're worth the effort, you know?
Yes, that is the prayer. Yeah. Now, when you take people to, let's say that you're taking, as you said, the last 10 years or so, you've been taking people primarily, or at least including, going to these pregnancy centers, which now number 58 in 19 countries. So do you get people who specifically say that they're in the medical field and they say, I want to go help out in a women's clinic in another country, and give those people a different take on what usually occurs at places that promote abortion, for example?
I mean, there are a lot of different things. And one of the examples I will give you is, so my oldest son is actually the medical director. He's a physician. He's actually the medical director for Beautiful Feet International. That's not his job. He works at a hospital, and he does all the training for the hospital here in Daytona. You know the hospital, Halifax.
Yes, Halifax. So.
So as a volunteer, he's our medical director, which comprises a lot of aspects. But one of the things, a few years ago, he went with me to Togo, West Africa. We have a lot of work there. We actually have 14 pregnancy centers there.
Wow.
And we were doing a training, and we brought an ultrasound machine at that time, and he did training of midwives at the clinics. And so he trained them, you know, they had our clients come in, and he trained them how to do ultrasounds. And it was just so amazing, because you have to realize that in Togo, West Africa, for the most part, women don't see a doctor during their pregnancy, right? So they
right.
certainly don't, you know, get an ultrasound. And so it was such an exciting thing to watch. And actually, the first client that came in, he was doing the ultrasound and saying, okay, there's the baby. Oh, there's another one. It was twins. So it was very exciting for me to see that.
The ultrasound has made a quantum difference in the understanding of pregnancy. Even the very ardent pro-aborts can no longer pretend that it's just a glob of tissue, right?
That's absolutely right. And everybody knows it now. I mean, you know, I've seen so much change in my lifetime. Even, you know, now you'll see, like, you know, watching an episode of, I don't know, Friends or something, and they'll show you an ultrasound. I've even seen, like, commercials where you see an ultrasound. So it's not even like just if you've been pregnant. Pretty much everybody, I think, now has actually seen, you know, a video of a baby in the womb. So I think that you're right. Their narrative has changed from, you know, it's not a child. And I think it was sincere in the beginning. I think people really didn't understand to now, okay, well, it's a child, but still my body, my choice.
Right. We're talking, in case you're just joining us, to Melissa Hyland, who's the executive director of Beautiful Feet International, an organization that runs 58 pregnancy centers in 19 countries around the world. Many of them, they include India, a lot of countries in South America and Central America, the Caribbean, and in Africa. She is also the author of Get Set, a spiritual preparation for short-term missions. It's from the new edition is from Hendrickson Publishing, which is a division of Tyndale House. And so many of these type of short-term mission trips are just ideal for medical personnel who want to do short-term mission trips, and particularly have a heart for pro-life centers like these, correct?
Yes. And really, they're for all people. Anybody who wants to go and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a place for everyone. We have taken people, I think probably the youngest age person we've ever taken is probably about 7 years old, and the oldest is probably about 77 years old. Those are not exact numbers, but there's a place for everyone. So I don't want people to get the impression that you need to have some specialized skill or training to go on a short-term mission trip. If you love the Lord and you want to share his love for others, there is a place for you. Not maybe on every single trip. Some require certain expertise, but there is something for you to do.
I think that's a real important distinction, because when I first had the opportunity to do the international trips, I asked my wife and my sons, who had done some of that, and I said, so what do you guys think? And Their unanimous decision was that I don't really have the carpenter skills that would allow me to do Habitat for Humanity or anything like that. And my nickname, Doc, is just a nickname. I have no actual medical training. although I was a Jim Cracky Boy Scout medic, nonetheless, I think medical missionaries, they need to have a little more training and certification than I have. So what else could I do? And they said, so you better jump on this music thing. I think it's going to be good for you. But not everybody has musical skills. Not everybody's medical skills. But there are plenty of things that people can do, like you say, that have a heart for the Lord and feel called to step out from their comfort zone and to go to other places and on behalf of the Lord and His work. And I think that is the most important thing that we can say today, is that you don't have to have special training. If you feel called, then God will find a place to send you that you can use the unique skills and life experience that you have in a unique way for that particular work, right?
Absolutely. If you love the Lord and you want others to know about His love, there's absolutely a place for you. And in terms of, you know, specialized training or whatever, I mean, we always prepare our teams to go and back to Get Set. I mean, that is a part of it. It is the spiritual preparation for the mission trip. And so I would encourage even you, Doc, you know, if on your teams, if you don't have something like this that is a spiritual preparation for your team, these are devotions that are written specifically for somebody going on a short-term mission trip. And so there are, I know you haven't seen it yet, but there are 31 devotionals, and each day has a scripture passage, a key verse, a devotional that is something about, that has to do specifically with short-term mission trips, and then a place for you to journal your thoughts. So I'm hoping to get a copy to you, because I think it might be something that would even help you personally in your ministry. I don't know.
I think so. The trips that I go on, I was a Methodist minister bivocational for 29 years. So probably about 10 years or so ago, I started writing specific devotions for the 10 days that we would be either in transit or in the country. And of course, since it's a musical, I'd usually have, you know, things to do about that. But I also love history, so I'd talk about the history of the area we were going to and that sort of thing. But
beautiful.
But, you know, I don't go on every trip they take.
So, right.
I only have to write one set of devotionals, or maybe two, a year, and that was it. This really sounds wonderful. I'm looking forward very much to getting to read your book.
I feel like the Lord really put it on my heart. I was looking for something, and I feel like the Lord really just told me, like, you need to write this book. And I think it's really been a blessing to people. And again, because it's based on scripture, absolutely on scripture, and then, you know, really our decades of experience. I think, you know, we see common things that the enemy does to attack and discourage people that are going on missions. You know, I always say, the enemy's not very creative. You know what I mean?
Right.
He just kind of does the same stuff over and over again. And so I've tried to address different areas where maybe, you know, Satan is going to attack, and, you know, sharing stories of different people from our teams and how they have, you know, seen victory. And because that's the thing, you know, when people are trying to go on a mission trip, the enemy's trying to keep them from going. And so when we go to the Word and we focus on that, then that's where we see victory. And I just, what I want is for people not to give up when they have a thought in their mind. Maybe people that are listening right now who think, yeah, I might like to do that. That comes from God. God is prompting you. And so to follow up with that, see what's going on at your church, see what's going on in your world, and do it. Go. You'll not regret it. I've never talked to somebody, and I'm sure you're probably the same, who's gone on a short-term mission trip and afterwards said, oh, yeah, I wish I didn't do that. Typically, people will say it's life-changing.
Yeah, absolutely. It really does. It, in so many ways, it makes the gospel come alive to you individually.
Yes.
It gives you a sense, a greater sense of the work of the church in the world, that it's not just limited to our country or our state or anything. And also gives you a different perspective on what life is like in most of the rest of the world. When we see poverty in Cuba, or in, not in Cape Town, but in the hills that surround Cape Town, people living in shipping crates that have had a welder cut a hole in one side for a door, then you realize that there are people that really struggle with water and food and shelter in a very basic way, that we are fortunate enough in our country, for the most part, that we don't have people living in that level of poverty. And it makes us appreciate it, but also should encourage us to find ways to help out people in other lands. And going on short-term missions is a wonderful way to do that. What's the situation that is common to short-term mission trips that you have to deal with the most when you're out there with them? Is it the fatigue that sets in by about halfway through the week, or is it the fact that everything is different? We like to call it Tina, this is not America, that we have expectations and we find out, oh, we're going to eat that, or are you kidding? Or this is where we're sleeping, are you kidding? What are the kind of things that you run into the most commonly? Is that the kind of thing?
I think so. I have never heard that before, Tina. I think, you know, it's a shock for people that have not been outside of the United States. And people are tired, you know, especially if you're going somewhere far away and you're, you know, the travel is long, right. And then, you know, it's hard to sleep in a bed that's not yours and with people that you wouldn't normally sleep with and all of that. And so it can be very, it can be really hard for people. You know, you're just dealing with a lot of things, like you said, things that you're not used to. Language, that is very stressful for right. people when they can't understand what everybody's saying around them. You know, people get kind of afraid in those kind of situations, you know, because it's a loss of control, I think. You know, yeah. We have the illusion of control in our daily lives, but exactly. when, right? And then, but then when you get somewhere and, you know, you can't understand what people are saying, you can't jump in a car and leave if you don't like what's going on, you know? So it's a lot, and people can become overwhelmed. Sometimes people can become kind of like short-tempered with other people on the team just because they're under a lot of stress, right, you know? Right. So,
And people get sick. I mean, people get indigestion. I went on a trip with my next down brother, who's minister of instrumental music at Idlewild Baptist Church in Tampa. And he was the team leader, and he got violently sick. The sickest I've ever seen him in my entire life in all the years that we've known each other. And for 3 days, they had to smuggle in a doctor to see us. We were in Cuba, and they were treating him, and we just didn't tell anybody except the team members and said, okay, like, Steve's not going to be with us tonight, so you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and I'm going to do the talking here, and we'll be fine. And everybody said, okay.
And that's stressful for people too, because depending on personality type, right?
Right.
Certain personality types, and mine is this. I like to know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I like to have a plan. I like to follow the plan and all of that. And that doesn't work with missions, you know. And I always say, in missions, you know, you never know what you're doing until you're actually doing it, and sometimes not even that.
Right. Yeah, right. We have another saying, Semper Gumby, always flexible.
Yes.
Because you just never know what you're going to run into. Melissa, this is just wonderful. I'm so excited that I had a chance to talk to you. Looking forward to reading your book, Get Set, A Spiritual Preparation for Short-Term Missions from Hendrickson Publishing, Division of Tyndale House. And I encourage people to go to your website, beautifulfeetinternational.com, to find out about the short-term mission trips that you guys organize and lead, but also about the work that you're doing with these 58 pregnancy centers in 19 countries around the world, and obviously adding more all the time. That since this information was sent to me, I don't know, a month ago, maybe not even that long, you've added more places in more countries. So I just think that's wonderful and shows that this is really a God thing that's going on.
Thank you. And people can find us on Facebook also. If you're on Facebook, Beautiful Feet International is a place that you can find us as well and see pictures of what we're doing and
Excellent.
Pray for us.
Excellent. We certainly shall. Melissa Hyland, our guest today, she's the Executive Director of Beautiful Feet International and the author of Get Set, a Spiritual Preparation for Short-Term Missions from Hendrickson Publishing. Thank you again, Melissa. I look forward to talking to you again. I think that we'll do that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Once again, we've been talking today to Melissa Hyland, Executive Director of Beautiful Feet International. You can check their website, beautifulfeetinternational.com. You can find them on Facebook as well. They run 58 pregnancy centers in 19 countries. And she is also the author of Get Set, a Spiritual Preparation for Short-Term Missions from Hendrickson Publicity. It's a new edition, a division of Tyndale House. Since 2000, they have been leading teams on mission trips around the world, doing all sorts of things. Sometimes they're medical trips, sometimes they're construction trips, sometimes vacation Bible schools, all sorts of things, as she said. She and her husband were IMB missionaries to Costa Rica from 1997 to 1998. So that gives her a unique kind of perspective on what missionaries need from people who want to do short-term mission trips. And once again, you can find out more about her by checking the website, beautifulfeetinternational.com. Well, thanks very much for joining us today on The Bookshelf. You can certainly, if you did not get to hear the entirety of our interview today, you can certainly check it out starting tomorrow on our website at the radio station, WTBFradio.com. It'll be posted. You can also go to my podcast, which is onthebookshelf.podbean.com, and find it very easily. You can listen to it from there. You can even download it from the podcast. Once again, that's onthebookshelf.podbean.com. We'll see you next time right here on your favorite radio station. Until then, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.